بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله. This is the 10th bab, the 10th section in Kitab al-Riqaq of Sahih al-Bukhari, and the title of this chapter is Bab ما يتقى من فتنة المال. What of wealth should one be on guard against? وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the words of Allah Most High, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ, the words of Allah Most High, your wealth and your children are but a fitna. So you see, this theme is repeating itself throughout Kitab al-Riqaq, the book of heart-softening narrations, as if he is saying, to soften the heart, you have to realize that this is very temporary. And the more you realize that you're only here for a short while, the softer your heart will be as you prepare for the next abode. So in this chapter, he brings about five or six narrations, and they all have the same theme. He says, قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثني يحيى ابن يوسف أخبرنا أبو بكر عن أبي حسين عن أبي صالح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعس عبد الدينار والدرهم والقطيفة والخميصة إن أعطي رضي وإن لم يعطى لم يرضى. This is the first hadith in the chapter, and this comes from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, who says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may the slave of the dinar perish, may the slave of the dirham perish, may the slave of the qatifa and the khamisa perish, for if he is given, he is pleased, otherwise he is dissatisfied. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions four things: the dinar and the dirham, so you think of money, and the qatifa is basically a thick, soft linen cloth, and the khamisa is a kind of cloak made of a similar cloth. So he's talking about articles of clothing and fancy attire, saying, perish be the servant of the dinar, the dirham, the qatifa, and the khamisa, for if he is given, he is pleased, otherwise he is dissatisfied. Now here, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ta'isa abdu dinar wa dirham, may the slave of the dinar and the dirham be perished or destroyed, he is not speaking in a literal sense, because if a person literally worships the dinar or the dirham, they're worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here he is addressing Muslims. He is not addressing people who worship literally a dinar or dirham or a piece of cloth. So the abd is the one who is here metaphorically, in as if they are an abd, in that they dedicate their life to this thing and acquiring it to the point where it distracts them from their purpose. Notice that this is a kind of mubalagha, it's a kind of hyperbole, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said, ta'isa Malik al-Dinar, may he be perished, the possessor of the dinar and the dirham, or Jami' al-Dinar wa dirham, the one who gathers and amasses the dinar and the dirham. But he's not saying that applies to a person who merely gathers or who owns a lot of money. He's talking about the one who dedicates everything to amassing wealth to the point where it distracts them from their purpose. He says, if this person is given, they'll be pleased. Otherwise, they are dissatisfied. So this is a kind of warning from being so engrossed in dunya to the point where it's as if that is our main focus in life and our purpose, when it's not. Continuing along the same lines, we have the next few hadith. He says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو عَاصِمٍ عَنْ أَبِي جُرَيْجٍ عَنْ عَطَاءٍ قال سمعت ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما يقول سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لو كان لابن آدم واديان من مال لابتغى ثالثا ولا يملأ جوف ابن آدم إلا التراب ويتوب الله على من تاب. Ibn Abbas relates this hadith. He says, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if the son of Adam had two valleys of money, he would wish for a third. For nothing can fill the belly of Adam's son, the son of Adam, except dust. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ And Allah turns in repentance to the one who repents. We'll read the next few hadith because they're basically repetitions of this. In the next narration, it's very similar. He says, حَدَّثَنِي مُحَمَّدْ أَخْبَرَنَا مُخَلَّدْ أَخْبَرَنَا إِبْنُ جُرَيْجْ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ عَطَاءَ يقول سمعت ابن عباس يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لو أن لابن آدم مثل واد مالا لأحب أن يكون أن له إليه مثله ولا يملأ عين ابن آدم إلا التراب ويتوب الله على من تاب قال ابن عباس فلا أدري من القرآن هو أم لا قال وسمعت ابن الزبير يقول ذلك على المنبر. So in the next narration, we also have this from Ibn Abbas, who says, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if the son of Adam has wealth equal to a valley, he will wish for another similar to it. For nothing can satisfy the eye of the son of Adam except dust. And Allah turns in repentance to the one who repents. Ibn Abbas says, I do not know whether this saying was quoted from the Quran or not. Ata says, I heard Ibn Zubayr saying this narration while he was on the minbar. And we'll look at what that means shortly. When the Prophet ﷺ says, nothing will fill the belly of the son of Adam except dust, this is referring to death or it's referring to burial. So it could be figurative in the sense that nothing will satisfy you in dunya. You'll be like this until you leave this dunya. If you have one thing, you'll crave after another. It could also be literal in the sense that nothing will fill you literally except dust when you die and are buried and you become one with the earth as your body disintegrates. The second hadith mentions that nothing will satisfy the eye except turab. So the first narration says nothing will fill the son of Adam except turab, dust. The second narration says nothing will fill the son of Adam except the eyes of the son of Adam except for dust. And here, the meaning of this is that nothing the person craves through the gateway of the eyesight. We've been talking about that a bit this Ramadan, that the biggest gate to things coming into the heart that creates craving is the eyes. So when he says this, it's talking about the path to those worldly cravings. You see it, you want it. You want it, you crave it. You desire for it. You acquire it. And you have that nice dopamine rush of getting the new thing, and then a couple of weeks later, it's normal. You have it. Big deal. You look for the next thing, right? And that is the nature of the consumer culture, right? The experience of shopping and looking for that new item, the excitement of getting after it. And then when a person gets it, they're excited for a few weeks, and then it becomes normal. You notice this with cars, right? Like, oh, it's a new car, right? It's really nice. You're looking at the features. You're so excited about getting it. And you get it. It's nice and shiny. It smells like a new car. And after a month or so, it's your car. And now you notice the same car on the highway, sometimes the same color, because now it's yours. So that's the nature of craving. And in both of these hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says at the end, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ Allah will turn in repentance to the one who repents. And here the ulama say this is an indication that though our nature is to crave after dunya, that is our nature, there is a way out. There is a way out and a way to make use of the world without succumbing to sin. If the person has succumbed to sin, there is a way out from the ill effects of that craving, and that is through tawbah. And they say this statement of the Prophet ﷺ is similar to the words of Allah Ta'ala, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ Whoever is wary of the internal avarice or greed of his own soul, they're wary of that, and they stay clear of it, then they are among the triumphant, the successful. The next hadith, we have two narrations, or three actually, and this will give context to the statement of Ibn Abbas. حدثنا أبو نعيم حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن سليمان بن غسيل عن عباس بن سهل بن سعد قال سمعت ابن الزبير على المنبر بمكة في خطبته يقول يا أيها الناس إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول لو أن ابن آدم أعطي واديا ملأ من ذهب أحب إليه ثانيا ولو أعطي ثانيا أحب إليه ثالثا ولا يسد جوف بن آدم إلا التراب ويتوب الله على من تاب. So this comes from Sahl ibn Sa'd, who says, I heard Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who was on the pulpit in Mecca delivering a khutbah, saying, O people, the Prophet used to say, if the son of Adam were given a valley full of gold, he would love to have a second one. And if he were given a second one, he would love to have a third. For nothing fills the belly of the son of Adam except dust, and Allah turns in repentance to he who repents. Similar. The next narration, حدثنا عبد العزيز بن عبد الله حدثنا إبراهيم بن سعد عن صالح عن ابن شهاب قال أخبرني أنس بن مالك أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لو أن لابن آدم واديا من ذهب أحب أن يكون له واديان ولا يملأ فاه إلا التراب ويتوب الله على من تاب. قال لنا أبو الوليد حدثنا حماد بن سلمة عن ثابت عن أنس عن أبي قال كنا نرى هذا من القرآن حتى نزلت ألهاكم التكاثر. So this last narration comes from Anas radiallahu anhu, who says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if the son of Adam had a valley full of gold, he would like to have two valleys, for nothing fills his mouth except dust, and Allah turns in repentance to the one who repents. Anas says that Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, we considered this as a saying from the Quran until the chapter Al-Hakum al-Takathur was revealed, meaning the verse Al-Hakum al-Takathur, the mutual rivalry for piling up worldly things, diverts you. Now, this is giving some context to the earlier statement found in the narration from Ibn Abbas. In that narration, it says, قال ابن عباس فلا أدري من القرآن هو أم لا, where he says that I don't know whether this saying was quoted from the Quran or not. What's going on there? According to Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the reason they thought that this statement of the Prophet ﷺ was from the Qur'an, or possibly from the Qur'an, or unsure, is because it matches very much so many verses of the Qur'an that speak about the nature of dunya. When you look at the Qur'an, you see throughout it, there are multiple verses that describe the nature of hayat al-dunya as being an abode of delusion, an abode of mutual rivalry and piling up wealth and boasting and bragging. So it is very similar in that vein to the Quranic description of the nature of dunya. So that when they heard the words of the Prophet ﷺ describing the nature of the son of Adam being such that if he had a valley of gold, he would want a second and nothing fills him except dust, they were unsure, is this from the Quran or not? But when Surah At-Takathur was revealed, they knew that this hadith was from the words of the Prophet ﷺ and not from the Qur'an. Another way of understanding this, and this way seems even more likely, is that there is a hadith Qudsi. In the hadith Qudsi, we know, is the Prophet ﷺ transmitting with his lafz the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him that are not Qur'an. There's a hadith Qudsi which also mentions that nothing will fill the stomach of Adam except turab. And this would indicate that they hear a hadith Qudsi and are unsure, is it a hadith Qudsi or is it from the Qur'an? And Surah Takathur made it clear that it is a hadith Qudsi or a hadith Nabawi and not from the Qur'an. And you find these kinds of statements here and there in the Sunnah collections, And understand that those statements are made in that period before the Quran is compiled, in that age before it, when it was still here and there and memorized in the breast of men. After that period of codification and collection, you don't have these kinds of statements anymore. This is in that beginning period. But it shows you also that when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is speaking, though these are his words reflect the realities of the Quran, the meanings of the Quran. And this is why when they heard it, they were unsure, because his words reflect those Quranic realities as he describes the nature of dunya. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.